The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
America, I'm Leslie Marshall. Good evening and welcome to the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. We are live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com, and we have a podcast available for you, commercial-free, that is iPod, iPad, iPhone, and MP3 compatible. All you got to do is go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members, sign up to be a member today. You can get yourself commercial-free podcast, video that other people don't have access to, travel mug, autograph picture, newsletter, a lot of great stuff. Plus, you'll be supporting our show and soon a charity, which I'll be sharing with you as well. Good evening, and I hope you'll be joining me here on your show. It's all about you, your opinions, questions, comments, and concerns. In this hour, I'm going to be taking your phone calls because I want those opinions, comments, questions, and concerns at 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543. My buddy, fellow talk show host out of Washington, D.C., who is host of The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government does not want you to know, and especially the right-wing government, and a buddy of mine who fills in for me here and is a regular guest, Mark Levine, will be joining us in this hour, but you are free to share your opinions and ask questions of him. The reason I'm going to have Mark on the show is Mark is an attorney, and he knows the law and the Constitution much better than I. Oh, yes, I've read it, but I haven't read it from the point of a legal mind with a legal diploma in my hands, giving me the authority, if you will, to interpret the Constitution. And speaking of, you can probably guess, we're going to go even farther than that, though. The president is getting a lot of backlash over Libya. The president himself, and you know, although I'm a liberal Democrat and I voted for him, he was my second choice. Hillary was my first, but I threw my support behind him. I support my president. I support the party I'm a part of. But I, sorry to say, like some that you may or may not like, the McCains, the Liebermans, or the Browns, will stand apart from my party if I don't think something is right. Now, I'm going to be, and I say that because I'm just honest. Really, I'm very honest with you. I'm angry and annoyed today. And I'm angry and annoyed because we have so many people out there, especially on the right, and especially asking me when I'm on television nearly every day, about whether or not Obama should be impeached because he overstepped his authority and he violated the United States Constitution in going to war with Libya. Now, I'm going to talk with Mark Levine. Like I said, I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not an attorney. But this is what I have learned from my research and from hearing other lawyers. We have a War Powers Act, which prevents any president from waging war on another country without congressional approval, except in an emergency. First of all, we have not waged war in Libya. we have, along with an international force, responded to the cries of people who were suffering and fearing genocide. And I think you'd all agree, genocide's an emergency, isn't it? Genocide's an emergency. If we had acted earlier during the Holocaust in World War II, if we had acted earlier with Rwanda, if we had acted at all with Darfur, how many people would have survived? We had a responsibility, politics aside, as human beings, and I've said this before, cost aside. We had a responsibility, and we have a responsibility as human beings to help others who are in need, crying out, who are being shot at like fish in a barrel. And that was the situation of the rebels in Libya. They could not fight with their sticks against tanks and high-level military weapons from a man who has millions in cash, millions in gold, and the majority of such within the banks and buildings within the borders of his own country, that dictator, Muammar Gaddafi. Not just a dictator, a madman. Ronald Reagan called this man a madman. Ronald Reagan apologized for the American people for having to do what he had to do, you know, with Gaddafi, and said, and we might have to do it again. When people say Obama's no Reagan, of course he's not. Reagan's dead. He's alive. Reagan's a Republican. He's a Democrat. Reagan's white. Obama's biracial, African-American. Reagan was older. Obama's younger. Reagan was governor of a state. Obama was a freshman senator. Very different, and very different in how they govern, and very different in how they govern when it comes to decisions on war. No, Obama's not Reagan, because Reagan really screwed up what happened in Beirut. And we haven't seen that happen, and I hope and pray we don't see that happen in Libya specifically, in Tripoli, or any other part of that nation. When I say it's a small nation, some people argue, no, it's not. It's the size of Alaska. Well, in comparison with the United States of America, Libya is a small nation. For those that say Obama's failing because, you know, a no-fly zone, you know, dropping bombs isn't going to do a damn thing, really? Ask the people who survived the Holocaust what good it did when we dropped bombs on railroad tracks so that trains couldn't bring any more people to those concentration camps and those gas chambers to their death. The president has been criticized for going to Brazil. The president has been criticized because he didn't get congressional approval. Really? Yes, he did. In a roundabout manner. He met with Congress. He spoke with Congress. On March 1st, the Senate unanimously agreed. And now Rand Paul and Richard Lugar, two senators, are condemning the president. They obviously have amnesia or short-term memory loss. Because you know they'll remember at some point. At what point do we put our politics aside and our calculators regarding the budget and say, I mean, really, at what point do we as a nation say we've got to agree on something, for crying out loud? I know we have an election in 2012. I know it's the Republicans' agenda to unseat this man. But really, how on earth can you say yes to Afghanistan and say yes to Iraq but say no to Libya? Is it you don't like the people? Is it a smaller nation? Not enough oil? And you know what bothers me too? You cannot compare Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya. We did not invade Iraq to save the people, and I'm so tired of the right wing pretending that's the case. Let's be honest. We invaded Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction. And because there were no weapons of mass destruction found, and the president admitted he misled us, in other words, he lied to us, our former president, George W. Bush. He then had to try to connect the dots, and lo and behold, some of you drank the Kool-Aid and believed him. That made Saddam Hussein somehow responsible and connected to Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, and responsible for 9/11. And our Clint Eastwood cowboy, you know, gun strapping, we've got to kick ass when somebody kicks our ass mentality. We were all for it. After all, this man had been torturing his people. He'd been torturing his people for decades, and we didn't care. We invaded the sovereign nation of Iraq. We did not just impose a no-fly zone and a ceasefire. And if you remember, we kind of did with Iraq similar to Libya. When Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, we went in. Then we left. Then he was our buddy. Then he was our enemy to justify our error for invading a sovereign nation. On the ground, folks. War. Very different. Afghanistan? Afghanistan? Hell, Afghanistan, I'm sorry. You think it's bad when somebody violates a no-fly zone and a ceasefire, won't feed their people, is attacking their people, wanting to commit, and makes no bones about attacking his people, being a murderer, if you will, committing genocide, and we're protecting them, and we're obviously doing a good job, because do you know what the Libyan government said earlier today? The Libyan government said earlier today that in some areas, not Tripoli, but in some areas, they've had to pull back their forces because the international forces are covering the rebels and they can't compete with that. Hello, that would be it's working. In Afghanistan, we were pissed off that they took down our towers, our planes, and killed over 3,000 of our people, and we had every right to be pissed. But did that give us a right to drop bombs and then sandwiches? I'm sorry I killed your mother, Johnny, or Ahmed. Here's a sandwich. Let me buy you lunch. Oh, and then we're going to save the women from the Taliban. The women have been oppressed in Afghanistan by the Taliban and the people for years, and we did nothing. Feminist organizations, you know, were begging for somebody to do something. Humanitarian organizations, no. It's about oil, money, and power, folks. And you know something? If Obama hadn't agreed, the UN Resolution 1973 would not have been passed. Lebanon and other Arab nations would not have come on board, and Great Britain and France's power were not alone for the Security Council to pass that UN Resolution 1973. And you know it, and that's why Madam Secretary Clinton called Obama and said, we need you, your support, and we need you. We need your vote, so to speak, your thumbs up. He gave it, bada bing, bada boom. So we're going to talk in this hour with my guest, Mark Levine, who is an attorney and knows the Constitution, about impeachment. About the Constitution, about war, and the War Powers Act. Does a no-fly zone and a ceasefire constitute war? And I want to talk to you tonight as well, America. You may agree or disagree with what I've said, but I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it much anymore. I'm tired of the comparisons between these are three different Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya are three entirely different situations, period. And if we had been going to Iraq to stop genocide, I would have been in favor of it. But I was lied to, and I didn't support that. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And I don't understand all the backlash the president has, because the president has been transparent, and the president's been honest. Do you know some people today are saying the mission has failed? The mission started Saturday! No wonder we have a 54% divorce rate. We don't want to stick with it. We can't afford it. It's too expensive. Oh, my God! It's a drop in the bucket compared to what we pay for and have paid for Afghanistan and Iraq. And oh, the president left town when people are dying. Really? Did George Bush ever go to his ranch, Camp David, or anywhere else while we were in Iraq and Afghanistan? When you enter the military, it's terrible, but you are a brave man and woman. We have the best military in the world, and you are there, and you are saying, I am going to be willing to die for freedom, whether it's the freedom of the people of Libya or the people, freedom of the people of the United States. And by the way, if you start having people like the Libyans lose their freedom, don't you think they'll come for us someday, America? I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll come to you in your phone calls. We'll come to our guest, Mark Levine, and we'll be back to you. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Shame on us. Put your politics aside. We're talking about genocide and people's lives. I don't know about you, but on Judgment Day, I'm going to do just fine. We'll be back right after this. 888-6-LESLIE.
They're our next door neighbors, and you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
She might not be able to see Russia from her backyard, but she's no dummy. Leslie Marshall, she can talk politics, and she actually is smarter than a fifth grader. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE.
We'll be right back.
You can listen to Leslie on your iPod or MP3 player. Find out how. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Leslie Marshall. Joining us now is talk show host extraordinaire Mark Levine. He's an attorney who knows the Constitution much better than I. Fills in here on the Leslie Marshall Show regularly, is a regular guest. He's going to be filling in for me this Thursday for hours 1 and 2. And I appreciate that, Mark, live from our nation's beltway, and also host his own show called The Inside Scoop. And you can go to radioinsidescoop.com to get all that scoop. Mark, thank you for joining me such short notice. But I was thinking today, with all these legal people talking to me on TV and on radio, I said I want to talk to one of my favorite legal minds, Mark Levine, about all of this call for impeachment and crying out that the Obama violated the Constitution. Is there some merit to it? Because we're hearing calls from both the left and the right.
No, there's not. And it's going to take me some time to explain that. I'll probably have to do after the break. But let me just say before I do that I was really glad to hear your passion. I'm really glad to hear we're on the same side on this one strongly. And I firmly support what President Obama is doing. Indeed, I called on him to act before he acted. So I'm very glad that we're helping the people of Libya.
I'm with you. Bill O'Reilly had me on because he was teasing me that I'm a pacifist voting for war. And I said, I'm not voting for war. I'm voting for protecting people from genocide. History has shown us, Rwanda, Darfur, the Holocaust, that you need to act swiftly, quickly, you know, at the onset.
Absolutely.
And I honestly think that we dropped the ball in the sense of a week or two timing on this, because it took a week for Gaddafi's forces to, you know, to become not only so violent, but more violent. And I don't know what happened there. We'll have to call Mark back. How much time do I have, guys? Okay, let's take Dave in Humboldt County, California. Hi, Dave. Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Leslie. I was hoping that we'd have Mark on the line with us. He's an old friend that used to be a
regular.
Well,
you know what? If you want him on the line, sweetheart, I am to please. Can you hold with us till we get him back?
Well, I can. We can talk a little bit because
okay.
I value your opinion on most everything, but I'm afraid on this particular one, I want to see a radical departure. I'd like to see Barack Obama a much better, much healthier person, but you saying it with regards to Afghanistan and Iraq, money, power, greed, that's played a part in it. This is going to be a radical departure. I hope you're going to somehow be able to convince me that's true. What I would like to have been seeing all along is Obama and, you know, doing everything he can to get us out of the Middle East. That had been our hope, most all of us that had voted for him.
Okay, Dave, I think you have some very good points. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to you there, Dave. Mark Levine's back on the line. He'll be rejoining us here. I'm Leslie Marshall, rejoining you right after this break as well. If you're not on the line, pick up the phone and join us. You have questions, you have comments, you have concerns, and you want the answers, or you just want to share your opinion. Whether you agree or disagree, all opinions are welcome here on the Leslie Marshall Show. 8886-LESLIE is the number. 888-653-7543.
Keep Leslie in your pocket. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. Only true democracy and talk radio of, for, and by you, the people, live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. We have heard people say that Obama should be impeached. He did not have the authority. He violated the Constitution. Kind of sounds deja vu, because we've heard this before. And this has happened before. And nobody was asking for impeachment. Nobody was saying the president's violated the Constitution. As a matter of fact, this has been done quite a few times since the Korean War. And we'll talk about that and talk specifics with that. Obama is coming under fire with Libya. you know, whether it's for, is it a war, isn't it a war, violating the Constitution, acting without Congress, impeachment, involvement in Libya at all, the majority of people don't want it, the cost. By the way, the majority of Americans also want us to bring the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. That hasn't happened tomorrow, and who is going to scream out for that? And it didn't happen yesterday. And then, of course, the fact that the president wasn't in the Oval Office. Apparently, you need to be in the Oval Office when you're in a warlike situation or have imposed a no-fly zone or ceasefire, even though George W. Bush had no problem going to his ranch in Crawford, Camp David, and other places to travel throughout the world, all the while we were in two wars. No ceasefires, no-fly zones, two full-fledged wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which, by the way, we're still in. So I ask you tonight, America, are you with the majority of Americans that are picking on the president tonight? We're hearing from people on the left and the right saying the president's wrong. Are you with the Americans that are saying we've lost this when it started Saturday, that this is a failure? Holy God, give it some time. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. There's a lot to talk about tonight. I want you to join me on your show of for and by you, the people, with your questions, comments, and concerns. And let's go to Mark Levine, who is our guest in this hour, a regular host here on the Leslie Marshall Show, a regular guest, sits in for me and will be doing so this Thursday. He's the host of his own show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government doesn't want you to know. You can check it out at radioinsidescoop.com, coming to us live from inside the Beltway. He's also an attorney and knows the Constitution a heck of a lot better than I. Mark, before I get to my questions, let's go to Dave in Humboldt County, California, because Dave had some questions. And Dave, I understand, you know, that you want to feel that Afghanistan and Iraq were politically motivated, as do I. You fear that Libya might be, you hope it, but hope it isn't. Please clarify that, and I'll let Mark weigh in.
Yeah, well, Mark Levine, it's so good to be speaking with you once again. It's the old
Thank
Dave.
You, Dave.
And you know, Alice is no longer with us, but I had been sharing with Leslie, it had been my hope and the hope of many of us that Obama was going to represent a radical change from what we've been facing now for several years. But he hasn't done what we had expected and hoped, and that was thought to bring a quick end to our whole involvement in the Middle East, because we believe power, greed, money, oil, that's been playing a part in that. And so now, not only does he not move to end that, we're in another one. That's the fear that many of us have, is that the powers behind the president that's saying, you do what we tell you, and more oil, more wealth, more power is what we're about.
Well that's Dave, it's a good and fair question, Dave. What do you say, Mark?
I mean, Dave knows well, because he's been following my show for some time, that I very much oppose the war in Iraq. And that, frankly, I think, while I supported the war in Afghanistan, I thought once we got rid of the Taliban, it's about time to come home. So I agree with Dave very much that what good we did in Afghanistan is done. We need to go, except for bombing an occasional terrorist base. And that certainly we never should have gone into Iraq, and it's time to leave. So he knows I agree with him there. I guess I feel differently about Libya, Dave. And I don't think at all this was a war President Obama wanted. In fact, if anything, he really, I think, tried not to get involved in this war. Compare it to Iraq. As you know, Dave, in Iraq, 10 days after George Bush got into office, he was already making plans dividing up the Iraqi oil fields. He was ready to go in, and he just needed some excuse, and he made one up. This is a war that President Obama did not ask for, clearly did not want. Clearly, the people of Libya wanted their own freedom, and they took this into their hands. And I think at the beginning, President Obama thought that Libya would go like Egypt and Tunisia. He would give a couple words of support, the people would overthrow the dictator, and it would all be done. It didn't go that way, because as awful as Mubarak and Ben Ali were in Egypt and Tunisia, Muammar Gaddafi is worse, and he was willing, frankly, to kill everyone or die trying. And so
Mark, don't you think that Obama looked at history and didn't want it to repeat itself and thought, you know what, we dropped the ball with Darfur, we were late with Rwanda, I don't want that to happen again. And Madam Secretary Clinton said, Mr. President, we can't drag our feet. This guy's, massacring these people.
Actually, if you read the New York Times, Hillary Clinton played a major, major role in changing Barack Obama's mind. If, according to the New York Times article, and, you know, I wasn't in the White House. I can't say that I know from personal experience, but the New York Times is a pretty damn good source. Barack Obama was against this war. He had decided, based on Defense Secretary Bill Gates, that it just wasn't worth it. There weren't enough American interests there. And Hillary Clinton, along with Susan Rice Powers, changed his mind, really. Based on the fact that, let's face it, Hillary Clinton was first lady when Bill Clinton was there. Bill Clinton has said he wishes he had acted in Rwanda. I think we are there for humanitarian reasons. And I think that we really do need to distinguish between Afghanistan and Iraq. And I know your views, Dave. I mean, you're pretty much opposed to all war, and I respect that. But if there was ever a war that I think really was necessary, it's this one. Because you heard Muammar Gaddafi. He said he was going to go into the second largest city in Libya, Benghazi, a city of almost 1 million people, and he was going to root it out. He was going to go into everyone's closets. He used that word. You can't hide in the closet. I will find you, and I will show no pity and no mercy.
And he wants to, and he's not afraid of death. He wants to be martyred. He reminds me, take away the gorilla of, you know, King Kong, but he's the king and he's not a good Kong, and it's not the Chrysler building, but the top of the tallest building in Tripoli, screaming at international forces as they're gunning him down. I can see this in Hollywood style. See what's happened to me, Mark, living in LA? But I can see him pounding his chest and screaming with smile on his face, his blood spewing out of him, because that's what this guy wants. He wants to go down in flames. He wants to be martyred. I'm serious. I don't think he wants to die today, but if he's going to die, I think he's going to try to make it as dramatic as possible, make us all look like the bad guys, and try and martyr himself. Let's take another call, and we go to Gordon in Randolph, Vermont. Hi, Gordon. Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
I think we're getting led down this path again. We saw this back, 8 years ago. Of course, we see the humanitarian suffering of people. We saw that in Afghanistan. I remember seeing Christiane Amanpour showing the women in the burqas. And yet, our intervention there, you know, what has that led to? Did Afghanistan commit the 9/11 crimes? We went there because of the Unocal oil line project through the stands, as far as history will show, I'm sure. I'm sure that Gaddafi is an awfully bad guy, but he was, you know, okay enough for the French and the international community to do all kinds of business with him. And, you know, when you use the term genocide, I don't know if that's really appropriate. But here's the thing, is every place there's a rebellion, people are instinctively for it, and I am too. But then we don't think past that point. Like, for instance, you know, who is leading, who is this colonel or whatever? How did they get weapons? How is it that these people, this is not a peaceful rebellion, that, you know, have arms in any country, usually the right of the country, you know, is to put down an insurrection inside of its own country, especially when it's armed.
But wait a minute, weren't the protests peaceful first?
Yes, they were. And that's exactly why the president didn't act, like Mark said. He thought, hey, this is going to become Tunisia, Egypt, Libya. But Gaddafi is a very different leader and didn't listen to the people and said, you know what, I got the weapons and I got the money to buy more. By the way, we also have to know that I've heard journalists reporting from non-biased sources on the ground that many of the people supporting Gaddafi don't really support him. They're afraid of him.
Exactly.
Gordon, he gained more support. He gained more support in that week that he started to take over the success of the rebels. But the rebels have a larger following.
People rally around their leaders. This is not how you get them to lose power. It increases the power. This is a big ego game amongst people, you know, Gaddafi and all the armchair warriors here in America getting their ego jollies, thinking, oh boy, we're going to watch that another shock and awe mission. And meanwhile, you know, how many more civilians are we going to kill? As a matter of fact,
we haven't killed a one yet. We may.
Probably would have been civilians before they had to put uniforms on. We're going to slaughter people there and call it a humanitarian mission just because our war industry can never get enough war.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Mark. Respond.
The people in Benghazi cried out and begged us for help. I remember when it was happening. I wasn't sure which way President Obama was going to go. I went on my radio show, and I actually criticized him because I thought he was going to go in the other direction. It looked like he wasn't going to help at the outset. And as I said, the New York Times article suggests he was originally inclined not to act. These people cried out for our help. And, how do they get their weapons? It's actually very simple. They're badly undermatched, but they got their weapons mostly because they were people in the military who defected from their own army, two of their pilots, we know that Gaddafi ordered them to bomb all the main civilian areas of Benghazi, and they decided they weren't going to do that, and they landed their planes elsewhere. They weren't going to kill their own people. So, look, I realize America has had all kinds of unjust wars. I realize the harm of the military-industrial complex. I realize that we fought the whole Iraq war for oil. I get it. I don't think this is that war.
Speak of that. We keep using the word war, okay? And I want to be clear. You're the lawyer. You know the Constitution better than I. Imposing a no-fly zone and a ceasefire and saying, if you do not follow A, we will do B, which is what they've done, is that war? Is that specifically war? And did the president need congressional approval then, if we're going to use the word war? Because I don't consider this a war. And the president has said, I know he's getting a lot of grief, but, he has been very clear that we are going to be handing this off in a matter of days, he's even saying, and that no U.S. troops' foot is going to touch the ground in Libya.
Leslie, it's a great question, and the reason it's a great question is because there's no easy answer, and it requires a lot of history and law, and I'm happy to go through it, but it takes some time. The heart of it is the difference between a formal declaration of war, which is what the Constitution says Congress does, and maintaining basically, in this case, a standing navy. The Constitution says that Congress raises an army because the founders didn't expect a standing army, but should maintain a navy because they thought we'd always need a navy. And in fact, you can go all the way back to 1804 on, guess what, the shores of Tripoli. Ever heard that? The shores of Tripoli, the Marine Ballad, where we fought the Barbary pirates, and we didn't declare war in 1804 because that was not considered a full-fledged war, but rather a skirmish with pirates. And these were the founders who wrote the Constitution. So there are all levels of war, and there's a lot of intense argument. And in fact, on Thursday, with my host, I'm going to go through all the nation's wars and talk about which ones were wars, which ones were skirmishes, and it's an open constitutional question. I can't say I have the answer, but I do think that the best resolution is the War Powers Act, which says the president can act in an emergency. And
now, that's what I was going to ask you. It's not defined. I was reading and looking everywhere. Emergency is not it's not defined what an emergent or constitutes an emergency with the War Powers Act, correct?
That's true. Basically, the president acts, and then if he doesn't get authorization in 60 days, he's got to withdraw within 30 days. So it's like a 60 or a 90-day time limit. I think that President Obama is going to go to Congress. I think he's going to get that authorization within the next 60 days. And I'll tell you this, as much as I support this war, if the president doesn't get that authorization in the next 60 days, I think he's constitutionally required to withdraw.
Is that 60 days or not? Because I saw 60 to 90.
Well, it's 60 days, and then he's allowed 30 more days to withdraw, basically.
I see.
So you can argue 60 or
90. So basically, he can go to Congress, and if they say no, they're giving him 30 days to get out.
Exactly.
I see. That
That's
makes perfect
the War Powers
sense.
Resolution. And what's interesting about the War Powers Resolution is that there's some that argue it's unconstitutional because it gives too much power to Congress. And there are others that argue the War Powers Act is unconstitutional because it gives too much power to the president. Those that say only Congress can declare war say that's not fair, the president can go in. And those that argue that the president is commander-in-chief under Article 2 say it's not fair that Congress has any restriction. The answer is there's an inherent tension in the Constitution between Article 1, which allows Congress to declare war, and Article 2, which says the president is the commander-in-chief. And this has always been this tension throughout American history. That's what I'm going to go through on Thursday. But the War Powers Act, I think, is a decent way to resolve that tension. It allows you to go in an emergency, but Congress has to back it up within 60 days, and I think they will in this case.
We're going to take a... are we done? Are we done with Mark? And no, it's hour two. We'll be back. Mark, hang with us. We'll be back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. Forgetting which time it is, where we are, we'll be back to talk more about this And I hope you'll join us. 8886-LESLIE is our number. I'm Leslie Marshall. Mark Levine is our guest. We'll be back at you in a moment. Mark's going to be sitting in for me Thursday here on the Leslie Marshall Show for 2 out of 3 hours. I appreciate that. I'll be doing hour three. He'll be doing hours 1 and 2. And we hope you'll be joining us for all three. Who needs a life when you can have us? I'm Leslie Marshall. Stick around. 8886-LESLIE is the number.
Leslie Marshall, when the truth matters. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE. Put something worthwhile on your iPod or MP3 player. LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
We're back on Leslie Marshall. Let's get back with our guest, Mark Levine, host of The Inside Scoop, a regular guest and sits in for me here, as he will this Thursday night on the Leslie Marshall Show, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. He'll be sitting in for 2 of our 3 hours. And I appreciate that, Mark, and all you do for me and all you do for America with your show, as well as sitting in for me here on my show. Mark, we talked about war and... We talked about war and how difficult it is to define, and that's something I did learn today from you in my research earlier. Tell me if, in fact, if it could be proven, and I don't believe it could, I agree with you, that the president violated the Constitution, or after 60 days, if he doesn't get congressional approval and, you know, moves forward and this turns into a full, you know, blown, large-scale war with the military, is much more involvement and does put their foot on the ground, et cetera, is this an impeachable offense?
Well, I think the answer is, look at the first president to conduct a major war without congressional approval. His name was Harry Truman. And when the Korean War came, and pretty much, all, again, the Barbary pirates, you could argue, was not a war. We did set foot on the ground of Tripoli. We were basically fighting with some pirates. But clearly the Korean War was a major war. No one can doubt that it was a long, bloody, multi-year war with troops on the ground and lots of Americans died. Harry Truman argued that the reason he did not need a congressional declaration of war is because Congress had passed, namely the Senate, had passed the United Nations Treaty. The United Nations Charter is a treaty. And so he argued that the Congress passed the United Nations Treaty, and when the Security Council authorized the Korean War, which was actually fought under the United Nations banner, not the American banner, although we were the primary people there. There was a coalition. He said, that's enough. The UN banner is enough. I don't need to get a congressional declaration of war. And there was a lot of talk about it, and there was an argument, and heck, maybe Truman should have been impeached. But in this case, we have a Security Council resolution, just like Harry Truman had, and at least so far, we have no boots on the ground. So clearly, if Barack Obama is to be impeached, they should have impeached Harry Truman back in the 50s.
And Clinton for Kosovo, Bush in 92 for Somalia.
Sure. And Iraq. Well, Somalia is a better example, right, because there was no congressional authorization. In Vietnam, of course, there was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which was entirely based on a lie, a complete lie, but Congress did authorize force there. So there's always been this argument, really ever since World War II. The last declared war we had was World War II. And, you know, listen, liberals like me have been complaining for a long time about presidents going to war without congressional authorization, which is why, like I said, I think the War Powers Act, which was passed over Richard Nixon's veto by 2/3 of Congress in 1973, I actually think it's a fair balance between the two. It's a longstanding constitutional argument. There is no answer because the Supreme Court has never addressed it. But I kind of like the idea that the president can act in an emergency. I think that's necessary in our day and age. The people would have been massacred in Benghazi if we had to wait till Congress got back from vacation to rule. So I like that the president can act in an emergency, but I respect the Constitution, I respect the congressional role, and I do think that Congress has to authorize force within 60 days. And if Barack Obama did not remove forces after Congress disapproved this war, then I think we would have a major constitutional case, but I don't think that's going to happen.
And speaking of, explain to people who don't understand very briefly, because we have 60 seconds, explain the difference between Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya. Well, I already tried.
There were congressional authorizations for both Afghanistan and Iraq. There was not a formal declaration of war. Some would argue that even that makes those invalid. But, of course, we don't have boots on the ground in Libya, and I think that's a major difference.
And I agree with you. We also had congressional approval with Iraq based on a lie. I appreciate you joining us, Mark. You know I love you. Mark Levine, check out his website. Go to radioinsidescoop.com, and you can check his show out live from Washington, D.C., and check him out sitting in for me this Thursday. I'm Leslie Marshall.